Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Inside. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. From the agriculture industry to home builders and restaurants, climate change is impacting the way business is being done across the Sacramento and Central Valleys. Those who can adapt, innovate, and have the means to do so may find themselves better able to take on the challenges, while others who wait may struggle to survive in this new reality we're finding ourselves trying to navigate. Our ag industry is a big one here and has been dealing with years of drought, extreme weather, and of course, devastating wildfires. Farmers are trying to stay ahead of a rapidly changing landscape. We are joined by Adam Steinhauer, editor-at-large at the Sacramento Business Journal, and reporter Emily Hammond. The Biz Journal just produced a series of reports on how climate change is already or will soon impact how business is being conducted in our area. Welcome both. Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Adam, let's start with you. Explain how and why y'all decided to tackle this topic. How did you choose the topics you reported on?
Yeah, basically, I mean, it's just a constant theme in talking about business and the economy in the region these days. It's a great deal of expense in terms of complying with the regulation. And it's a great deal of expense in terms of adjusting, in terms of the potential changes to ag in particular, in terms of what the crop mix is likely to look like in the future, and in terms of adjusting to the lack of water in years such as this one. It's a great deal of adjustment for the construction and development industries in terms of making buildings more sustainable. And it's going to be a great deal of adjustment in terms of how they plan the region in the future.
Yeah, there are a lot of interests and industries that are essential but can also compete with each other. When talking about this, what struck you about the reporting that you all did?
Basically, just what an overarching issue it is in terms of both the expense and the adjustment it's going to require of just about every industry. And also a lot of opportunity. Sacramento is a region that's, I think, is particularly might be focused more than others on solving this in terms of a lot of the research that comes out of UC Davis. Larger companies here, such as Origin Materials, focused on creating plastics without petroleum products, things like the California Mobility Center in town, trying to develop new technology for mobility that's more sustainable. So there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of adjustment for everybody. And it's kind of an underlying theme just about everywhere you look if you scratch the surface.
Yeah, which led to a handful of articles and reporting from the Biz Journal. So, Emily, let's start with you and drill down on your story, because you focused on the impact of climate change on the Sacramento area's ag industry. How big of a threat does climate change pose for the farming and ranching industry in our area?
Climate change poses a pretty significant threat. California's climate is one of the factors that makes our, of course, massive and flourishing agricultural industry economically viable in the first place. So the climate here, the warm Mediterranean climate, is kind of what helps farmers grow fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, those kinds of things that fetch higher prices and make farming in the kind of more higher cost environment of California more economically viable in the first place. And so, of course, any small change to that climate poses a threat of kind of a massive disruption to the industry.
Yeah, and given that our state is now in our third year of drought-like restrictions, which impacts water, and water is essential, and it's becoming more scarce and more expensive, in your reporting, you say that just last year alone, our area's agricultural losses were over $400 million. How did that come about? And comparatively, if you can help us visualize, how big of a deal is $400 million to the ag industry in California?
That is a pretty significant deal. And so the most of the losses that we saw in the last year due to drought were was land going unplanted. I believe it was about 250,000 acres of land that just went unplanted that in previous years would have been planted with crops. And of course, there's not enough water at the beginning of the year. Farmers just decide they're not going to plant anything at all. And those economic losses are huge. They're especially felt in the rural areas in California that are really the lifeblood. Agriculture is the lifeblood of those small communities who depend on that money coming in to not only pay the farmers, of course, but pay all the employees in the town, feed those families, that kind of thing. And so it doesn't impact, you know, of course, everyone equally, but it is a significant impact on certain parts of our California economy.
Which sectors of the agricultural industry are being impacted more by drought?
Currently, a lot of that large impact that we saw in the Sacramento Valley last year was due to rice. It was more than 200,000 acres of rice, which is a massive crop in Sacramento Valley and here in Yolo, Colusa counties, that kind of thing. And yeah, more than 200,000 acres, farmers just did not have the water to plant rice. And so they didn't. And so that was left empty when it could have been, an economic generator for those communities.
Yeah. What I learned from your reporting, often when we think of these heat waves, we think of the highs, you know, these triple digit temperatures. But also what's really crucial are the overnight lows. And those have been changing as well, which is impacting these industries and crops.
Yeah, that's actually something that I was surprised to discover, too, is actually one of the things that is probably the most pressing, the most immediate impact we'll see on the horizon is due to these, not just, of course, the extreme high temperatures, but actually the loss of cold temperatures in the winter. These tree crops need a certain amount. They need to, our researchers call it chill hours. So in the winter, they need to accumulate a certain amount of hours where the trees sit at lower temperatures. And if they don't get that lower temperatures, if they don't accumulate enough chill hours, it actually is really detrimental to the blossoming cycle, which of course harms the yield for the entire plant. And by the end of the 21st century, researchers are thinking that the number of chill hours in the Sacramento Valley could be cut in half, which of course will have a dramatic impact on what kind of crops will grow here at all.
Often when having these conversations, there's the argument that since the climate is changing in California, why not switch crops to crops that are more sustainable? What are the challenges to achieving that?
There are, some challenges. Of course, that is going to be ultimately one of the ways that the industry is able to ride kind of this climate change that's coming. But the industry in general, it must be slow to adapt. Kind of over the past decades, we've seen an increase in orchard crops, these perennial crops, things like almonds, of course, we've seen go in, cherries, wine grapes. These are all crops that have massive returns, but they also require a huge upfront investment, and they're intended to last for sometimes decades at a time. Those growers kind of putting in those tree crops, if they want to make the most out of their investment, they really need to start thinking now about what exactly they're going to plant.
Right. And they're putting that investment largely on the front end, hoping that this will last for years or even decades, correct?
Exactly. It is a massive, unlike, you know, the annual crops, which you plant every year and then get returns every year. These tree crops require a huge upfront investment. And then growers hope they can make their money back kind of over a course of sometimes decades, 20 years or more in the case of some plants.
So given all of that, how are growers starting to change the way they plan in order to adapt to these drier years?
Yes, that is kind of the good news is that what I heard, the bottom line is that a lot of these impacts can be mitigated if the industry is willing to adapt. One of the things that's already happening, of course, over the past few decades, the almond industry, for example, has really worked hard to reduce its water use through things like more precision irrigation. Things like that. And then also crop breeding is a huge potential for the impact, for reducing this impact that we could see from climate change. Of course, we have a renowned crop science program here at UC Davis, and researchers are working on developing new varietals of crops that require less water, take less fertilizer, are more insect resistant, and need fewer of those chill hours every winter, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Even though that's promising, I mean, the challenges are layered. It's not only climate change or extreme weather and wildfires, but growers in California are still struggling with all the other economic pressures of the past few years. I mean, can you talk to us about how our local industry is faring today when we're talking about or take into account supply chain issues, inflation, et cetera?
Of course. Yeah, this year, a lot of the growers I spoke to, climate change is kind of the last thing on their mind. Most of what they're dealing with now is Like all of us, inflation, their costs of inputs, you know, fertilizer, pesticides, that kind of thing has skyrocketed over just this past year. And meanwhile, they're dealing with, for those growers who export their crop, like a lot of them do, like rice, almonds, they are dealing with this massive supply chain disruption at our ports. They're unable to export large portions of their crop. They're not getting paid for it. And so the costs of farming this year, the cost of water also has exploded. So costs are extremely high this year with much lower returns, which is a negative situation overall for the farmers.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about how climate change is already impacting several industries here in the Sacramento area and Central Valley. All right, Adam, you are the editor at large at the Sacramento Business Journal, and your team focus on other topics related to climate change and our local economy. So let's move to the restaurant industry, because it's gearing up for some major changes when it comes to the use of gas energy, essentially scaling it down. What's exactly happening?
Yeah, the city of Sacramento has adopted an ordinance that will require new construction starting next year for buildings under four stories high to be all electric. This is an issue for the restaurant industry in that there are a lot of chefs who are accustomed to cooking on gas grills, particularly some ethnic cuisines. Most chefs use gas grills. Electric cooking equipment that achieves similar effects is not generally available. Now, there was an original talk about requiring this of existing buildings. That's postponed. So restaurants already in existence have some adjustment period before anything like that, although the city of Sacramento is considering an ordinance in the future for existing building. Now, city officials we spoke to emphasized to us that they hope to implement this in an equitable way, in a way that allows restaurant operators to apply for waivers if switching to an all-electric system isn't feasible. But for now, starting next year, new construction, including restaurant buildings, are expected to be all-electric. And I believe in 2026, taller buildings over three stories will have the same requirement.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of Sacramento, in my opinion, is the variety of food and ethnic cuisines. When you talk to those restaurant owners, many of them small restaurant owners, what do they have to say about this?
They express concern. I mean, again, it's not something that is going to immediately take effect for restaurants that are already in existence. But industry representatives we spoke to expressed concern that this is going to be an incentive against opening new restaurants that rely on gas cooking, and new Asian restaurants in particular. Those who are already operating are concerned about what's coming in the future in terms of this being implemented for existing buildings.
And having to spend more money to transition to that, correct?
Having to spend more money to transition, and even if it's feasible to transition to it. There doesn't seem to be, from what we can tell talking to folks, a widely known and available replacement for gas cooking for a wok grill. And maybe the technology is in development, but it doesn't seem to be available or affordable for the average restaurateur.
When it comes to the variety of, you know, energy sources that we have, by relying heavily on electricity, can utility providers shoulder this? I mean, having alternative sources would allow businesses, restaurants in this case, navigate potential outages.
It's a concern. And I should say, another story we included in this package is one about the new rules for all commercial construction to include some solar and energy storage. You know, basically, all commercial buildings under state regulations are going to be required to have some sustainable power source, such as solar. And there is a broader concern in the construction industry and the development industry that the utility system isn't ready for it. And we've had the rolling blackouts in recent years, and there's concern that that will happen again. Yeah, there is definitely a concern that the power industry in California is not ready for this. There's a lot of focus on energy storage, basically, to have buildings ready to continue powering if the grid goes down. Basically, a way to deal with the unevenness of solar power in terms of power availability during the day and not during the evening. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move to the new regulations about solar. This is a continuation that was already implemented into home construction, right?
Correct. And it's generally the feeling was in the industry that the requirement for new home construction went pretty smoothly. So starting next year, it's going to be required also for commercial construction. So it is not yet required that all buildings are self-sustaining in terms of power, but they are going to all be required to have some solar and storage and some of that. There are questions still about, you know, when they're going to be self-sustaining. There are questions about what are going to be done for smaller buildings that, you know, frankly, don't have the room on the rooftop for enough solar panels to be self-sustaining. A lot of this is likely to be done through kind of off-site solar farms that basically building owners are going to be able to buy from, basically, and there'll be those sorts of requirements. But this is also coming against the background, again, of the power industry possibly not being ready. It's also amidst a lot of uncertainty in building and construction in general. And in terms of the office market, there's a lot of adjustment going on, at least not knowing how much any of us are going to be back in the office permanently, and office owners are adjusting to that. Nobody really quite knows how much office space they're going to need. There's a lot of adjustment happening in the retail industry with more shopping online, and that affects retail real estate also. So this is one more thing for folks in that industry to navigate.
When talking about building, how ultimately could this impact cost and affordability, since we already have maybe some lessons learned from home construction?
Yeah, tough to say. I mean, builders we spoke to, of course, emphasized that it's a new expense, and there is a general feeling that, you know, in the industry that they have not really been included in these decisions. And yeah, it's an expense going forward, and it will affect affordability. But again, that's also on the other side of that. Demand is uncertain, so maybe that will hold down costs in terms of demand. But yeah, that is a concern.
Lastly, there is a road between El Dorado Hills and Elk Grove called the Capital Southeast Connector, which is in the works. And there's a tax measure on the November ballot, which will fund this. If this is new to people, can you explain what the Capital Southeast Connector is hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, it's basically a new highway under construction that would basically go around the central city from Elk Grove to El Dorado Hills. Proponents basically say this is necessary just with the region's growth. Just it's needed in terms of new transportation infrastructure. Opponents in the environmental activist community and also the Sacramento area Council of Governments has done an analysis that raises concerns that basically a new highway between those two cities out in the suburbs will encourage urban sprawl. Make it more difficult for the Sacramento region to achieve its goals in terms of reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And aside from the negative with that, could also make it harder for the region in the future to qualify for state funding for transportation if we're not in compliance with the state's goals for greenhouse gas emissions.
Is this connector going to move forward regardless if this moves forward on the November ballot?
Uncertain. It's something they have been working on for a while and are still working to get funding for, but this is a big piece of funding. This particular ballot measure includes funding for a lot of transportation needs other than the Southeast Area Connector. Interestingly, there was a similar ballot measure in the last election and other times recently that was largely supported by many of the same groups who are concerned about it now. But this the measure this time is being funded, as we understand it, by development interests and construction interests who want to see that that freeway built in terms of it being able to support development in the southeast area of the county.
Before I let you both go, just taking in your series of reporting, I'm struck by the competing interests and the challenge of striking the right balance. What is encouraging about the Sacramento and Central Valleys in terms of being positioned to weather these economic consequences of climate change? Adam, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think what's encouraging, and we didn't really get into this series, but we have in general, is there are a lot of ventures starting here that are aimed at tackling this challenge. There's a lot of startups in this region focused on climate and on sustainability. There's a lot of research out of UC Davis and companies that have spun out of UC Davis focused on making agriculture more sustainable and manufacturing more sustainable. SMUD is considered a leader in the utility industry in terms of providing sustainable power. So why it's a risk and a cost to a lot of people in business. On the flip side of it, there's a lot of money and ingenuity going towards solving that problem and helping meet the challenge. And that will create jobs, will create wealth, and maybe make the consequences of climate change less dire than it might otherwise be.
Emily, where did you find some promise in your reporting?
Yeah, just to echo what Adam said, I think the innovation just flourishing in the region. Of course, UC Davis in agriculture specifically is, of course, the worldwide kind of juggernaut that it is in crop science, and they're located right here. You know, growers here ready to try new ideas, ready to adapt to change, ready to innovate. I think from what I reported on, the people I talked to, they say these challenges basically are daunting, but if anyone was to solve them, it would be right here in the Sacramento region.
Emily and Adam, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you
very much.
Adam Steinhauer is editor-at-large at the Sacramento Business Journal, and reporter Emily Hammond covering the agriculture industry for the Biz Journal. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.